Every week, hundreds of thousands of Christians in the United States are convinced they worship God because they attend a church service once a week. They're wrong. Hello, this is Shelley Dizdar, and you're listening to Light Along the Way, an internet radio program designed to shed some light on the everyday issues of your life. Did you know human beings were made to worship? We were, and we all worship something, whether we realize it or not. Some people worship a sports team. They follow all the games, know all the players and their stats, have all the team paraphernalia, and watch all the reruns of even previous games. Some worship certain music groups or entertainers. Did you know there are thousands of people who go to Graceland, former home of Elvis Presley, at least once a year? They call it a pilgrimage. They stand in long lines and pay money to walk through his former house. They have the music and the t-shirts and the coffee mugs and all the other items which have his picture on them. And he's dead. Then there are those who drive long distances to see music groups, spend money they don't have for tickets, and stand in the cold and the rain for hours after the concert to try and get pictures and autographs. Not to mention the ones who compromise their physical bodies in order to be close to their favored personality. Secular bands often have a designated person who picks out girls to come backstage or go to hotel rooms with the band members for alcohol, drugs, and sex. Others worship their particular hobbies and have all the latest equipment and tools in order to spend as many hours as possible in their particular field of interest. There are those who worship money and believe they're defined by designer labels, the car they drive, how they spend their vacations, the type of home they have, and the cash in their bank account. They might even work several jobs in order to attempt to fulfill a certain image. Or they may have several maxed out credit cards, and often it's both. They sacrifice their children, their families, and even their health to work endless hours at a job in order to have all the money they think they should have in order to be something. Some worship music, books, movies, television, cell phones, and the internet. In fact, with all the technology available today, you can get all those features in one device and carry it with you everywhere. Sorry if I sounded like a commercial there. Others worship comfort, and their drug of choice can be anything from actual drugs, alcohol, sex, sleep, and yes, even food, and other drinks, including expensive coffee. Okay, shopping too. Did you know you can get a device to start your car for you and have the seats warm before you go outside to get in your car? It seems like no matter how bad the economy is supposed to be, you have to wait in line at restaurants, and Starbucks always has a line. Not to mention the grocery store. Now, for those of you who are not faint of heart, I dare you to do a time study for 1 week to see how you spend your time. How many hours are spent sleeping? How many hours are spent at your job, school, caring for your family? How many hours do you spend on the phone, internet, watching TV, or going to places of entertainment? How many hours do you spend in prayer and the Word? How many hours do you spend enjoying the presence of God or listening to what He has to say to you? How many hours do you spend in service to others? Well, I think you get the idea. I also want you to do a 1 month financial study on where your money goes. Really? In fact, you may need a little help keeping track of this by doing it daily in order not to forget the little purchases, you know, like candy, gum, coffee, fast food, etc., etc. How much money goes to support your local church? How much money goes to support other ministries or causes that help others that you can't? I remember when our daughter was small and we would give her a dollar for every year old she was once a week. She could make change before she was 4 years old and knew how much change she should get back when she made a purchase. The first time she saw a Salvation Army bell ringer in front of a store, she asked what they were doing. I explained that they were collecting money to help people who needed food and clothes and things. Every time she saw one of those buckets, she had to put money in it. And she always used her own. I remember sitting beside her in church one Sunday when the offering plate was passed. She was 6 years old, and I didn't have a bunch of $1 bills when I gave her her allowance, so I gave her a $5 bill and a one. She knew the value of each and decided to put the $5 bill in the offering. She never gave out of fear or guilt. She knew her daddy would always take care of her and see that she got what she needed. We used to call her the blessed child because she always seemed to get what she wanted as well as what she needed. I know many of you aren't very analytical or detail-oriented, but I hope you get where I'm going with all of this. Next, I want to address those of you who know a lot about the Bible, attend every seminar and special meeting, you've read all the good books, you have all the bumper stickers, and wear the uniform and jewelry. Remember what Jesus said to the religious leaders of his time? Who had knowledge, position, and wore the uniform and jewelry? They had all the information and appearance, but they lacked one thing: attitude. Well, they had attitude, they just didn't have the right one. Even more frightening, it's when Jesus told those who claimed to have cast out demons in his name that he didn't even know them. And he never did. I know, you thought worship was about a certain style of music and whether a person raised or clapped their hands, jumped up and down, yelled loudly, or sat quietly with soft music and candles in a dark room. Maybe you thought it was about the type of instruments that were used, or whether any instruments should be used at all. Perhaps you thought it was about how many times you went to church, or how long the service lasted. Maybe you thought worship was about the way it makes you feel, and how long you're able to keep the feeling. Perhaps you thought it was about signs and wonders and miracles. Now don't get me wrong, I enjoy all of the above mentioned things. But guess what? Worship isn't about feelings, music styles, how smart you think you are, or the way you dress. It's all about God. Now I realize some of those things are affected by what you believe about God and your relationship with them. But it's more than that. How much time do you spend with him? What do you know about him? What does he like? What does he hate? What percentage of your money supports his interests? How much of your time is dedicated to the people and things he says are important? What is your motive for attending church? Is it so people will think you're a good person? Is it so you can see who wasn't there and talk about them? Is it to ease your conscience so you can feel good about yourself? Is it so people can compliment you on your particular area of service, or perhaps what you may be wearing? Jesus said, "Whatsoever you do to the least of these my children, you have done it unto me." What is your attitude toward others? How do you treat them? I don't just mean the ones who treat you well or you have something to gain by treating them well. I mean those you would consider to be the least in the kingdom of God. You know, like the children, the elderly, the handicapped, the poor, those who are a different race or culture or income background. Why is it that every church, no matter how large it is, always is in need of children's ministry workers? Many churches no longer have transportation ministries because they can't get dependable people willing to spend an hour before church picking up those without transportation and spend another hour after service taking them home. After all, it's more important to get in line at the nearest restaurant to get a nice big Sunday dinner or get home to watch the game. Worship is an attitude. An attitude leads to action, or the lack of action. Jesus said, "Those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth." So what does that mean? To worship God in spirit means with an attitude that He is God and you are not. An attitude of humility and willingness to obey whatever He says, whether it's convenient or whether everybody else does it or not. When the Bible tells us to do everything without complaining, it really hits home on the attitude we have about obeying God and serving others. To worship God in truth means living a life in agreement with His Word. John 17:17 says that His Word is truth. You know, so many are living a life of truth as they see it or feel they're able to attain to it. And too often, that's a life of compromise instead of truth. If I were to give a simple definition of true worship, it might sound something like this: to live a life in joyful service to God and man in obedience to God's holy word rather than the standard of the world. Wow, sounds like worship involves relationship dynamics, as opposed to simple rituals, styles of music, and church attendance. When we realize who God truly is, we should be humbled that He would love us. Some believe God owes them His love, while others have difficulty comprehending the fact that He could love them even a little bit. Too often, people love others based on their perception of God's love for them. The Word says His mercies are new every morning. Are yours? Or do you get up in the morning still angry and frustrated with what happened or maybe didn't happen the day before, or the month before, or even years before? Then there are those who live a life of obedience strictly out of fear or terror of God. When the Bible says we're to fear the Lord, it doesn't mean we're supposed to be in terror of Him. Rather, we're to have an attitude of respect and recognition that He knows what is best, regardless of what we think or how we feel or what our culture says is permissible or not. Perhaps you need an attitude adjustment today. You're not alone. King David recognized his failure to obey God. He not only asked God to forgive him, he also asked God to create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within him. Maybe you failed to obey God and need to ask for his forgiveness and someone else's forgiveness as well. Perhaps you failed to recognize God's great love for you and his ability and desire to love others through you as an act of worship to him. Perhaps you've realized that you've not worshiped God in spirit and in truth because you have idols in your life that have priority over God. After considering how you spend your time and money, you've come to realize what your priorities are and God is not where he should be on your list. Maybe you've never heard a message like this one and have truly thought you were worshiping God. After all, you've done everything the worship leader at church told you to do, the way he told you to do it, and when he said to do it. Whatever the case, I pray you will allow the Holy Spirit to bring you into all truth today, and you'll begin a life of real worship. If you haven't already, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know how much I love music and singing to and about you. You also know how much I love reading your word and good books that teach me more about you. And as for prayer, you know that's a priority before I begin each day as well as before I go to sleep at night. But you also know how easy it is to let that replace the right attitude I need to have toward you and others when I feel neglected, tired, or unappreciated. I ask right now that you would forgive me when I've failed to worship you in spirit and in truth. You know, those times when I've done the right thing with the wrong attitude. Or perhaps didn't do the right thing at all. Thank you for the opportunities you give me daily to put others' needs above my own, and I pray that I will do so with an attitude that will honor you. Make my life an instrument of true worship, that others might also worship and glorify you in spirit and in truth. And now I pray for those listening today as well. I ask that only your truth would be revealed in this message. And I trust you to apply it to the hearts of those who hear it. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you for spending time with me today. Thank you for your prayers and support. May God truly bless you as you worship Him in spirit and in truth.